You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Good morning. My name is Ellen, and I have the amazing privilege of leading the Grief Recovery Group on Thursday nights. Our scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab those. This will be our primary text for today. We are kind of doing some biblical theology right now, which means we're going to jump around, but this will be the anchor text. I want you to be able to see it and interact with it as we walk through. So I've been trying to kind of continually keep before you and stir up in you the confidence that the Church of Jesus Christ was built for a moment like this. As we look at the chaos of the world around us, we think that God has shaped us and molded us and put us in this moment of human history for His good, for His glory and our good. And so I believe that, and so I'm continually trying to stir that courage up in you. And I said last week that if we really were going to step into this, then we're going to have to be a people that believe in the triune God. And the reason why I wanted to kind of pull on one of the members of the Trinity is because he's kind of the one that we don't know a lot about, and he kind of wigs us out a little bit. And so I said last week that, man, if I were to ask you about God the Father, you'd be able to say all kinds of things. If I ask you about Jesus all day long, if I ask you about the Holy Spirit, my guess is you want to downshift immediately into tongues or prophecies but the Holy Spirit's so much more than that. And so if we're going to be the people of God in our day, it cannot be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Bible. Because that's not what the Holy Bible gives us. It gives us God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so last week I just said, hey, this is who the Holy Spirit is. Right? The Holy Spirit is not an energy. He's not a force. He's not a wind or fire, although he is described as wind and fire because that's what he does. But who he is, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. He's not an energy. Right? We're not witches and warlocks. We're not tapping into energy. He is God. He is a he. He is a person, and he is God. And so to know God rightly is to understand who the Holy Spirit is, and as I'll cover today, not grieve him. Not grieve him. And so we said last week that we see the Holy Spirit at creation, that he's hovering over the formless void chaos of earth, and he orders it to flourish so that the Holy Spirit orders to flourish. We saw last week that the Holy Spirit does the work of illumination. Here's what that means. No one in here is a Christian except for the Holy Spirit showing you your sin and showing you how wonderful Jesus and his salvation is. Like you didn't become a Christian because you did a pros and cons list. You didn't become a Christian because your parents were Christians. You didn't become a Christian because of this or that. You became a Christian to the person, whether you got saved out of religion or irreligion, because you got to be saved out of both of those. You became a Christian when the Holy Spirit showed you your sin and then showed you the beauty of Jesus. There's no other way in which any man must be saved. So if you're like, oh, no, I'm saved because of Jesus. Absolutely. But the only reason you know that is because the Holy Spirit did the work of illumination. Then here's what's crazy about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves him some Jesus. He's always like, look at Jesus. I mean, isn't Jesus amazing? Jesus is incredible. Let me encourage you with Jesus. Like the Holy Spirit's answer to everything is Jesus. He's just wild about Jesus, which is why if you ever get so caught up in the Holy Spirit that you only want to talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm concerned. Because the Holy Spirit's never like, look at me. The Holy Spirit's always like, look at him, right? We also saw that the Holy Spirit is the presence and power of God, both in the church and in our individual lives. That the Holy Spirit is the presence and power of God in the church and in our individual lives. And so we walked through all of that last week, and then there's this weird thing. It's not a weird thing. It's something that we have to deal with, that the Bible actually lays in front of us the reality that although the Holy Spirit is God, that the Holy Spirit does the work of illumination, that the Holy Spirit is the presence and power of God in the church and in our lives, we see on multiple occasions our ability to grieve or to quench or to say no thank you to. Now, the reason why I love this passage, although I'm going to focus on verse 19 to the end, is how the passage begins, kind of describing the life of a believer before he gets into don't quench this. So let's look at the passage together. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 21. Rejoice when? All right, it's going to be that kind of morning. You're with me. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, don't miss this. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What should your life be marked by? My life be marked by as followers of Jesus Christ, as a community of faith? How should we be seen and known? Those who reject the anger, suspicion, and cynicism of our day because we're rejoicing always, we're praying without stopping, and in every way we give thanks. Like, how odd is that going to make us in 2021? Well, like, how cynical is the day that we're in? How angry is the day that we're in? And yet the book says, no, my people, no, they rejoice always. They rejoice always. I'm not saying life's easy. I'm saying we rejoice always. They pray without ceasing. They're always intimately communing with the Father. I'm not saying it's easy. They give thanks in all circumstances. That word all there, you want to do some Greek work? It means all of it. Right? Like all, it's wild. It just means all, every bit of it. Tough season of your life, give thanks. The antidote for tough seasons is gratitude, right? And so, but listen, this ain't even my sermon yet. This is just setting us up with, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So now my question is your life marked by that? Right? Like, I'm just asking, that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And who empowers that kind of living? The Holy Spirit, unless... Do not quench the Spirit. Don't extinguish. Don't snuff out. Don't ignore. Don't bury. Don't cut off. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Now, I want to root this in its context. This passage has to do with prophecy, which would be an umbrella term for the way the Spirit does the work of illumination, right? So in this passage, prophecies are about the Holy Spirit revealing to a man or woman, and that man or woman speaking that prophetic word over the congregation. And what appears to be happening is that there are those in Thessalonica that don't like that. They don't want that. And if you follow the New Testament, there's probably reasons they didn't like it. A lot of false teaching in the first century, a lot of false teaching in 2021. Right? And so there are those that despise this. We actually read, I'm going to say that prophecy is an umbrella term that you can fit all sorts of things under, whether that's impressions or words of knowledge or that whole list in 1 Corinthians. I think they fit under the umbrella of the prophetic or prophetic ministry. Like, let me read to you its purpose. This isn't a message on prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 3. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands it, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Everybody breathe. This is about the Holy Spirit. You're fine. This is the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So this is interesting because when you and I think about prophetic, most of us always think about future telling. But the Bible and the New Testament don't talk about it like that way. It says that the prophetic is for what? For encouraging, for building up, for consolation. You weary? Got a word for you. So prophecy isn't me showing up going, thus saith the Lord. Which is why if somebody says that to you, I would just, boop, I just turn that thing off, right? And so this is going on in Thessalonica, and some people don't like it. In fact, the word used in our text is despised it. And again, I've already said there's probably reasons to despise it. Plenty of false teachers in the first century, plenty of false teachers today. What's to stop anybody from just making up some nonsense and saying the Lord said? Huh? Right? So here's our solution. The solution is actually in the passage. The solution here, look at verse 21. But test everything, hold fast to what is good. This is not the only place that we're told to test and not just accept without discernment, without testing any kind of prophetic word. That just because you feel like you heard from the Lord don't mean you heard from the Lord. Just because you think you got a word doesn't mean you got a word. How are we to find out? We test. I love even how John puts it to the church at Ephesus. This is 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. You and I test. I've got a word for you with the scriptures. They become the litmus test for whether or not you just had some weird pizza. Or maybe the Holy Spirit placed an impression on your heart to encourage, build up, or console a brother or sister in Christ. Which is why I love you, but if you come to me talking about some nonsense that flies in the face of the Bible, I think one of you's lying. I think if you had a very vivid dream about something that goes up against the Word of God, your dream was not from the Lord. I don't care how vivid it was or how it made you feel. Right? But again, I think this passage is bigger than just prophetic. I think what's happening here is that what we see, more than just despising prophecy, is it has to do with what we do when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Like what we do when the Holy Spirit makes known the will of God, what we do when the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus, shows us our sin, and invites us into life in God. So if the Holy Spirit does the work of illumination, you and I have the capacity to say no thank you to that illumination. And let me talk about illumination on two fronts. The first would be one I've already mentioned, salvation. And if you study doctrine, which I would encourage you to do, doctrine matters. There's something called the effectual call of God. This is the salvific call of God where the Holy Spirit woos you into the kingdom. All right, what C.S. Lewis called the hound of heaven, right? He just woos you in like you don't even know how he got you. Yes, come on. Sis, you're already a member. Forget our processes, you're in. Now, here's the way like it worked. When I first went, the guy that was sharing the gospel with went to church with him. If anybody get saved in 90s youth group, just a testimony of the sovereign power of God. Get that hand up like you ain't Baptist. Right? Thank you. Now, like I walk in on a Wednesday night and they go, I got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Spell it, J-O-Y. You remember that? Like there ain't ever been a time in human history where 15-year-olds look at that and go, oh, I want to be a part of that. And so I would come to church. It felt kitschy. It felt like a Saturday Night Live sketch and I couldn't stop coming. That happened to anybody else? Like the guy that was taking me, give me a ride home, I was like, bro. Or if I need to translate that for you younger, it's bruh. And I would get, like I would just dog it the whole way home. We'd get to my house and he's like, so you wanna come again next week? I was like, yeah, of course, pick me up. Like what was that? Listen, I went on a Friday night. I went and saw in Houston, Texas, Run DMC Beastie Boys. The next night saw Michael W. Smith, DC Talk. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. And that's fine. I don't need you to research it. I'm just saying one of those is not like the other. And it didn't matter. There was something in me being drawn in. And I didn't even realize it till he got me. This is the effectual call of God, and the Holy Spirit does it. It's the work of illumination. Like, some of you are here today because life ain't working. Like, some of you are here today because you got a little bit of loneliness in you. Some of you are here today because you're done wrestling with anxiety. Some of you don't know why you're here. You just woke up and said, thought I should go to church. Well, that's the ghost. See, that's the draw of the Holy Spirit wooing you through Jesus to the Father. Wooing you home. It's almost like romancing you back to where you were designed to be. This is what he does. He illuminates. And if you say no to that, you grieve the Holy Spirit and rob only yourself. You grieve the Holy Spirit and rob only yourself. The second thing that happens in illumination is we see clearly the Word of God. You cannot understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You just can't. You could memorize the book of Romans, and if it's not leading you to greater love for God and others, I'm saying you ain't ever read the book of Romans. The Holy Spirit shows us what's in the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just a textbook to weaponize for our own ends. But the Holy Ghost can reveal to us the nature and character of God, the beauty of Jesus, the wickedness of our sin, and the safety that's found in his salvation. You and I live in a day where authority, any external authority, is questioned and deconstructed. I don't know, like, there's every 60 years in US history, there's been massive upheavals where all the authorities have been torn down and the new ones put in their place. The last time was in the 60s and 70s. Some of you were there. The time before that was in the 20s. I don't think any of you are there. Right? This happens every 6 years. We're in the middle of it right now, and there is a complete deconstruction of authority. Nobody gets to tell me what to do but me. Right? It's the God of our age. But here's what's crazy about the book. Here's what's crazy about that Bible in your lap or on your device. That truth, I need you to hear me now, truth is not inside of you, and it's not fluid. Your feelings towards what is true and what is not true have no bearing on what's actually true or not true, right? And the Holy Spirit does the work of illumination, and he shows us through the Word of God what is most true, and it is almost always confronting. The Word of God confronts people because we want to be our own gods. We think we know what's best for our lives. Despite the fact that a lot of us, I'm looking around, got 20 years of regret, still confident in our sovereign reign. It's madness, right? Right? You just got like scorched earth behind you, still think you're nailing it. It's wild. It's what sin does. You justify the brokenness of your present by blaming everybody else for the scorched earth you created by trying to be your own God. The scriptures confront this. The Holy Spirit shows you that you're doing it. Truth is outside of you, and it's fixed. Thank God, because there's no way to navigate if something's not fixed. Right? There's no way to navigate if something's not fixed. But God gave us the scriptures. They're fixed. He's not changing his mind. He's not looking at 2021 and going, didn't see this coming. Let me tweak how I design things. That's not how this works. Now, I love this quote. Let me give you this quote on the scriptures and the Holy Spirit doing the work of illumination, because I think we can get cloudy here because we overcomplicate it. My boy, George MacDonald, he ain't gonna let us. Instead of asking yourself whether you believe or not, ask yourself whether you have this day done one thing because he said do it, or abstain, or once abstained simply because he said do not do it. It is simply absurd to say that you believe in him if you do not do anything he tells you. See, McDonald's is like, we're like, I don't know, maybe I'm a believer, maybe I'm not. McDonald's like, how about this? Are you obedient? You're not obedient? Well, then it's absurd. I love his word, like absurdity. Like, so dumb, there's not another word for it. Like, I'm a follower of Jesus. Do you follow him? No. Hey, but I'm in the Bible Belt South. But I'm in the Bible Belt South. The Holy Spirit does the work of illumination in the scriptures, which is almost always a confrontation. There's almost always a confrontation. We quench the work of the Spirit when we say, that doesn't apply to me. We quench the work of the Spirit when there's delayed obedience. You know what I'm talking about? That I'm gonna get around to that. I'm gonna confess that. I'm gonna eventually do that. I just need these things to line up so I can be obedient. My guess is that doesn't fly in your house if you have kids. Yeah, hey, when you get around to it, son, just not, don't be in any kind of rush. It's whenever you get around to it, would you do these things? I hope you don't parent like that. Your kid's gonna burn down the Western Hemisphere. They need a little, like, now, do it now. Daddy said now, right? Delayed obedience is just disobedience. Delayed obedience is just disobedience. We quench the Spirit when the Bible becomes a suggestion and the culture slash our feelings become our authority. We grieve the Spirit when we neglect the work of illumination. The second thing, the Holy Spirit is the presence and power of God in the church and in our lives. Let's start with the church. The way that the Bible talks about, and this is important for our day and age, the way that the Bible talks about quenching the Spirit in the context of a family of faith is over and over again through the language of division, over and over the language about starting controversies, of loving ideology more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this. Romans 16, 17 through 20. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Now look at me, we gotta have a conversation. The doctrine that you have been taught in Romans 16 is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his atoning death, his resurrection and ascension, our new life in him. It is not talking about secondary issues that we choose to create division among us. You with me? So this word doctrine isn't you becoming kind of like a doctrinal warrior. Anyone doesn't line up exactly where you are, gets slain or gets accused of heresy. Like, you know, heresy has a specific meaning and it's against orthodoxy. Not that they just don't line up where you line up on soteriology or the role of women or even the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is. It's the gospel. So this is what he says. For such a persons do not serve our Lord Jesus, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'm down with that crush Satan under our feet kind of thing as a church. But did you hear the warning? Don't associate with, stay away from the divisive, overly critical, gossipy slanderer person among you, for they are not with Jesus. Here's how he says it in 1 Corinthians 3, 2 through 3. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So we're starting to get, it hadn't landed yet. We're going to need a few more years. We're starting to get data in on what's happening post-COVID, even though it doesn't, I mean, I don't know what's about to happen, but I know what we're going to do. We're going to worship Jesus and gather, right? But anyway, the data's coming in. Here's what it looks like. It looks like if you pastor a church, a third of your people that were with you before, they're deeper in than they've ever been. They're more committed. They're giving more. They're serving more. They're like, these are my people. This is my church. Another third is like, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is us. And then that other third is gone. Now, what we don't know about that last third is where they're going, because there were some other points in the research that's actually showing some really troubling things among evangelical Christians in the United States. And here's what's happening. that more than ever before, you can measure and see that people are starting to pick churches around their ideology, not their theology. In fact, on many points, we got people that are willing to join an ideological tribe, even as it flies in the face of their theology, which means we're not picking churches based on who's preaching the gospel faithfully, but whether or not they line up with our political ideology. Like this is math now. It's people that don't even know they shouldn't even admit that out loud. So man, I'll go to this church. I mean, I don't think they really land where the scriptures land on this, but man, they feel the same way I do about these issues. Like, how are we supposed to stomp the devil under our feet if we just gather in ideological tribes? We're actually to show off Jesus Christ by gathering across ideological tribes. Like, have you ever thought, like, Jesus' disciples? Just, it wasn't a great home group to put together. Have you ever thought about it? You've got a zealot in there, so a guy who's kind of made an oath to kill tax collectors, and then you put him with a tax collector. That's like going, oh, you're an alcoholic? We've got a guy that runs a bar. I think you would work great there. Like, why would you? But this is what Jesus does, because he's showing off the grace trumps ideology, that the gospel of Jesus Christ overcomes ideology and actually puts us together as a new kind of people, even as we might disagree with one another. Like, for many of you, I won't be able to go far enough, and for others of you, I will go too far. And where we need to land is there this thing that binds us to one another that's not our ideology, but the blood of Christ. That's what binds us together. That's what makes us give one another the benefit of the doubt, and how we refuse to quench the spirit among us as a family of faith is to not gossip or slander, to not be overly cynical, to give the benefit of the doubt and seek to understand even as things get more and more polarized in the world around us. There need not be the fear in us that's in everyone else. There need not be the fear in us that's in everyone else. If somebody says something crazy, you ask for clarity. You don't meme them, right? Help me understand. Have you ever asked that question? Can you help me understand? Hey, I don't know. Maybe it's the way I grew up or how, can you help me? Like that you would land there on this is like really confusing to me. I know it's not personal. I know you don't hate me. I know what binds us together, but can you help me understand? And then here's what's crazy. You don't have to be convinced. You can be like, all right. Well, that's crazy. Okay. I wouldn't do that. You ain't got to say crazy under your breath. You just back out, right? So this is what makes the Church of Christ the Church of Jesus Christ. That what binds us, what you and I have most in common, is not our upbringing, not where we land on specific social issues. What holds us together is that I was lost and now I'm found, just like you. That the Spirit is dwelling in me like he is dwelling in you, and that we get to show off the glory of Jesus in how we agree on that and how we just might disagree on a lot of other stuff, but I still love you and care for you, and you still love and care for me. How low is the bar for showing the beauty of Christ in 2021. That's why I'm telling you we were made for this moment. Right? Like, you're just like, how do we show Jesus the world? Be kind to one another. Right? It's not presuppositional apologetics anymore. Nobody even cares about what's true. It's just how they feel. So what would it be like just to be kind and prayerful and unapologetically spiritual and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to like, the bar is low. Just don't grieve. You grieve the Spirit when you gossip, slander, and refuse to give the benefit of the doubt. When your base posture is one of cynicism and criticism. Look at me, brother, sister. That ain't discernment. It's demonic. It is not the Spirit of Jesus Christ making you overly harsh and critique and criticize everything around you, home, work, or church. Don't cover that in spiritual language. Repent for grieving the Holy Spirit. Not just in the church, but in our lives. I love this passage. Let's look at this. Romans 8:11. The power and presence of God in our lives. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So hard for us, just near impossible for us to believe. The Spirit, capital S, that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you and I as followers of Jesus. It's okay, let's do some eye contact. Which means, tell me again what sin has power over you. Remind me again how you can be stuck. Tell me again one more time how you can't seem to break out or break through. The Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. Here's the mistake I think we make. I think we have for way too long just heard about how wicked our hearts are and how bent and broken we are. All that's true, but when the Spirit lives inside of you, that is no longer your primary identity. That's not how the Bible talks about you once you're a Christian. I gotta watch out for my heart. Or you can surrender to the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart as He illuminates the beauty of Jesus in the Scriptures and walk in the power of God. Like, that's why I think you're stuck. That's why I think we can look at secret sin and places we're all jammed up. We're like, I can't get myself out. And I'm telling you, you can't get yourself out. The good news is you don't have to. Remember when we looked at last week that Jesus said, I'm going to send a helper to you. I will not orphan you. Gosh, it's like you're choosing to be an orphan. Who does that? Who chooses to be an orphan? You don't have to. There's help. There's healing. There's hope. You don't have to stay stuck. I just don't think there's any addiction or any bent that the Spirit of God won't lead you out of, that won't break through and lead you into life concerning. And I've got thousands of years of history with men and women testifying that it's true. The Bible filled with all the grimy brokenness of humanity and God making a way. I'm not saying it's neat and easy. It's messy and hard, but it's there for you. Let me end with this passage. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Two postures here. One, quenching the Spirit. Two, fanning into flame the gift that's been placed inside of you. How do you fan into the flame? It's not complex at all. Here, just look at me. Obedience to what you know. It's not obedience to what you don't know. It's obedience to what you know. This is not overly complicated stuff. Where has the Spirit of God prompted, pushed, revealed that you should be this and stop this? And where have you said, by the power that illuminated that to me, I'm going to step in and do that? And where have you said, well, not yet? Or eventually, or I just don't think that actually applies. I think God's maybe tweaked some things since then. I think the church has not read that like they should have read that over 2,000 years. I think there's new revelation today being ushered out where the things that God's called evil, He now goes, actually, I got that wrong. This is actually really good. I mean, you're giggling, but tell me, we don't have a front row seat to that right now. So what does it look like to not quench the Spirit, but fan into flame? Because if you really want that kind of heat, vitality in life, we get there by being obedient to what the Spirit illuminates, either through the Word or by prompting alongside the Word that leads us into rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you close your eyes, bow your heads there where you are. Nothing weird's about to happen. Nobody's going to touch you or anything. I just want to ask a question, and I find that this posture helps people. I wonder, even as I've been preaching this morning and we've been singing this morning, if God the Spirit, in his kindness, has not revealed to you in very specific ways where you have been quenching the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's that delayed obedience thing. You know, like God has called you to this and the answer's been not yet. I've got to get these things in line first. Maybe it's the confession of a sin. Maybe it's stepping into a thing that makes you nervous. Maybe there's some issues that you have relationally. Maybe you've been just kind of at the peripheral of a community of faith. Maybe you've never said yes and been baptized. Maybe you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus fully. Maybe you've been in church. But man, you, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit has done some illuminating work right now. And you know, like a specific, I have been quenching the Holy Spirit. If that's you in this place or you're watching at home, would you just raise your hand like you're not a Baptist and like, man, I've been quenching the Holy Spirit in my life. Yeah, just get that thing up. The Lord sees. He knows. This ain't about me. It's just about you. Okay. Praise God. Why don't we put our hands down? Now, it's important to know that the Holy Spirit does not illuminate and reveal what he will not empower you to step into. How cruel would he be if that were the case? But instead, the Spirit now has shown you as an invitation into something better. Listen, conviction is a sweet gift from God. Conviction lets us know that there's something better waiting for us. Conviction is God saying, no, 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 son, no, 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 daughter, I've got something better for you if we had only surrendered to that conviction. And so here's what I'm gonna ask you to do, whether you raised your hand or not. I'm gonna ask you, just like we did last week, if you just cup your hand and put them out in front of you like this. Again, this isn't meant to be weird. I don't think anybody's gonna drop anything in your hand right now, but just as just a way of saying, I wanna receive from you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, you have done the work of illumination, those things that we can't do. You have shown us what we can't see. I thank you that there are men and women, hundreds of them now, who have just said, I know specifically where I've quenched. I know specifically where I've said no thank you. I know specifically where I've chosen to be my own God rather than surrender to your sovereign reign. And now I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you would encourage and activate in the deepest part of their souls delight in you, obedience to you. Just pray your power would blow the circuits of their hearts and minds. Pray to be all the more captivated by Jesus, all the more led into holiness, all the more surrendered to your power day in and day out in their lives. You have shown, now will you empower and strengthen. So as the enemy, even in this moment, tries to come in and distract and remind and sow fear in, I just pray against that fear. Pray against, Father, continually trying to manage their own world rather than just surrendering to you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Spirit, do those things that only you can do. I'm about to pray and say amen. We're going to stand and sing a song about the Holy Spirit resting on us, coming and moving again and doing those things that the Spirit has done since the beginning of it all. And today, if the Spirit has shown you, this is where you have quenched the Spirit, then I'm just going to invite you into repentance and into steps of obedience where you line yourself back up with where God is leading you to. Maybe that's somebody you need to confess to. Maybe that's some step you need to start taking. But I want you to make that move. And if you're here today, and man, the Spirit of God this week or as we've gathered has kind of opened your heart to believe, like he's done the work of illumination. Listen, we'd love to celebrate new birth. Who doesn't love new birth? And so, man, we're ready to just baptize you today and just celebrate the new life that the Spirit of God placed inside of you. And so we've got men and women in the back that are ready to pray with you, to talk with you, if you want to be baptized today, to pull you around. We got shorts for you, a towel, a t-shirt. We're just going to get it today. But I am hungry to see our church shaped all the more with a glad surrender to the illuminating, empowering, strengthening work of the Holy Spirit among us. Father, we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Spirit, help us. For your beautiful name, I pray. Amen.